Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to this week's broadcast from River of Life Fellowship Church in Copenhagen, New York. This week, join guest speaker Ashley Mosier with a message of God's faithfulness through times of struggle, titled, Out of the Mud. All right. Yes, my name is Ashley Mosier, and I've actually been attending this church since I was 5 years old, about 31 years ago. I was in kindergarten, and I worked a variety of jobs here. I was the first official cleaning lady when I was younger, and until I was pregnant with Caleb, I had to stop because I almost passed out one day cleaning the bathroom. But from the overhead projector girl, the old church, and there you go, to learning to be with a team, working in music under some great leadership there, cleaning bathrooms. I have enjoyed serving this church in a lot of different capacities, and it is a privilege. I do appreciate you guys all being here today and braving the weather. I was very torn last week in feeling relieved and yet completely bummed that it wasn't going to be over with last week. But no, everyone I've talked to is really sick and tired of winter. It has been long, and it's been a lot of snow, a lot of ice, a lot of not fun things. A lot of older people that I've talked to have said it's a good old-fashioned one that they've had that was like when they were younger. And it's I don't mind winter. I don't have to work in it very often, though. You can ask my husband. He has a different opinion. But along with the cold and the wind and the snow, there's some other things that winter brings as well. We get cooped up inside. We have a lot less vitamin D in us. We can get a little cranky more often, or maybe tend to be in the dumps and be more on the downside of things. And I'd like to kind of dig into that a little today. I'd like to touch on some more sensitive topics that could affect us more this time of year. At all times could bother us, but maybe more seasonally this time of year than others. We're going to dive into some really low points for some biblical characters and how they dealt with some depression and fear and anxiety, how they cried out to God for help, and how they felt. And then in return, how God came to their aid. He meets them where they are, and then empowers them to go out and to do his will. I'd like to preface all of this by saying I don't know everything about this at all. I'm not saying that I understand your situation or everything about these topics and fully understand the depths of them. They're deep and they're weighty and they're different for every person. So don't hear, as George says, don't hear what I don't say today as far as being knowing everything about these things that we talk about. I'm just here trying to be obedient and sharing some of my own struggle and looking into the Bible and using that as a compass to walk through these things. I'm so glad that the Bible is still relevant today and that we can use it for guiding us through all of the things in life, including these things. So let's pray. Let's do that. God, I thank you for the opportunities you give us, for your goodness, God. We come today and we pray that you would open our hearts to your words, to your reassurances, your encouraging today. God, I pray that you would bless this time. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, it's funny, it's not funny, how much in the last month since committing to this, I've struggled within all of these areas a lot, which I figured as much, because once you commit to something and say something, you're going to be challenged in it very much. And that was the case. I've had nightmares. I've had lots of fear and anxiety with things in my past that I've dealt with that have come to relive my thought in my thoughts in the last month. So I found myself stuck in the mud, where we all find ourselves at one point or another, on varying levels. My experience is going to be very different than yours as we go through this, but it really is all the same underlying foundational issues, dressed as fear, worry, depression, anxiety. And like I said, we're going to look at the Bible and see where else we can find these. So I'd like you to turn to Exodus 3. We're going to look at really chapter 4, but as we start in Exodus 3, we find Moses at the burning bush. God has heard his people cry out. He has seen the struggle that they have had. And he says, "Hey, Moses, you're up. It's time for you to get to work. I choose you to go and free my people." And Moses has some doubts. He is extremely insecure, and we find him going in a back and forth with God, kind of like almost in an argumentative way of, "But God, what about this? But God, what about that?" And so we see that sometimes we can end up in the mud because of our own insecurities and self-doubt. So Moses, unassured, needs some reassurance. And we pick up in chapter 4, verse 10. "But Moses replied to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently or since you've even begun speaking to your servant, because I am slow and hesitant in speech.' Yahweh said to him, 'Who made the human mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, Yahweh? Now go, I will speak to you and I will teach you what to say.' Moses said, 'Please, Lord, send someone else.' Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, 'Isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and he also is on his way now to meet you. He will rejoice when he sees you. You will speak with him and tell him what to say, and I will help both of you, him to speak, and I will teach you both what to do. He will speak to the people for you. He will be your spokesman, and you will serve as God to him and take the staff in your hand that you will perform these signs with." So what can we take away from Moses? He, like I said, he was a pretty stressed out guy. He was pretty worried and even distrusting in God's plan, which is where I know personally I find myself sometimes, and going back and forth with a lot of excuses as to why, well, God, this just wasn't going to work for him. But I do find it comforting as I was studying through this to find that God didn't say, "Don't feel that way, Moses," and almost put him down or belittle him. There was none of that. There was no, "Don't feel that way, don't think that way." He let him feel the way he felt and met him there despite of that. God reassured him multiple times in multiple ways that he would be with him despite Moses' insecurities and doubt, giving him tools and resources to push through his reasons of worry and anxiety that he had. Moses came with his bucket of excuses, and then God gave him his bucket of resources and then sent him on his way. He did not say, "Oh, okay," takes away all of his problems. No, he sent him on his way with both buckets of excuses and resources. He gave him many different things to help counter his worry. So sometimes we end up in the mud because of our own insecurities and self-doubt, like Moses did. But sometimes the mud gets thrown at us. I'd like to look at Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting in verse 3. It says, "Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belongs to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, 'I have had enough. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's.' Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, 'Get up and eat.' Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. And he said, 'Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you.' So he got up, ate, and drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He entered a cave there and spent the night." Here we find Elijah crying out to God. And he brings him his anguish and his exhaustion. As I was looking into this, the guy was tired, and understandably so. I looked into these different times where he just is traveling and running, whether it be for his life or the Holy Spirit filling him ahead and he's running ahead of things. Here's a little bit of an example of that. So if we back up a little into chapter 18, we find Elijah on Mount Carmel. He's on the mountain doing this enormous, miraculous thing, and quite a showdown with all of the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. And after that, I mean, just that alone, the spiritual exhaustion from that incredible experience would have been absolutely exhausting. But after that, then he runs ahead of King Ahab's chariot, which is drawn by horses. So that's fast. I would assume that was a lot. That was not only fast, but that was, depending on the routes back then, they estimate it to be about 17 to 25 miles. That's like, just that is insane and would be exhausting. But then where we pick up, back in verse 3 in chapter 19, from Jezreel to Beersheba, where Elijah is fleeing Jezebel's threat. She finds out what he did on the Mount Carmel and says, I'm coming after your head, Elijah. And he is terrified and runs for his life. And he travels from Jezreel to Beersheba, a distance of about 100 miles. And at that point, after that distance, is where we find Elijah crying out to God here in this specific passage, saying, I've had it, God. Take my life. I'm exhausted. End it for me. I am done. I'm done. And I just can't imagine. The poor guy would have been just absolutely done, understandably so. After resting, when the angel met him, cared for him, we find that he was able to have enough sustenance to travel 40 days and nights to Mount Horeb, and that distance was between 200 and 250 miles. So we see that this is a lot of traveling. This is a lot of physical, need that he has. I can't imagine, like I said, how incredibly exhausting. But it's interesting that God saw him even in his humanness. I mean, he was still an influential prophet that did miraculous, crazy things on the mountain just a chapter ago, before this. And yet we see he's still just human, and God met him in his humanness and gave him the strength and what he needed and then sent him on his way. And I hope by now you're seeing somewhat of a pattern of God meeting his people and coming alongside of him. You can be struggling and working through things, and God still has work for you to do. Just because you feel broken It doesn't mean you are useless or used up for the kingdom and God's plan. If you are here, he still has work for you to do. It doesn't matter if you've been told otherwise. God didn't take away any work for Elijah. He gave him the tools and the resources he needed, which is, if we look, is somewhat different than what he gave Moses. Moses needed a lot of emotional support, needed some you can do it, and a lot of those kind of reassurances. And where here we find Elijah, he just needed a nap and a sandwich. And you know, God meets you in your individual need. And it's not a one-size-fits-all type thing. And so, to me, that's encouraging because we're all very different in everything that we need. So sometimes we end up in the mud because of our own insecurities and doubt, like Moses. Sometimes mud gets thrown at us, like we find with Elijah. He had a lot of things thrown at him. But sometimes the mud is just life. So let's look at David. Psalm 42 says, "As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long people say to me, 'Where is your God?' I remember this as I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful and thankful shouts. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will sing praise to him, my Savior and my God. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of Hermon and Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, 'Where is your God?' Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." Here we find David bringing his sadness and his worries to God through prayer and song, and you find it all throughout the Psalms, just this roller coaster of highs and lows, and him bringing his worry and his care to God, and then bringing his joy and his celebration to him as well. The Psalms are just filled with it. Psalm 13 is one of my favorites. "Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever?" It's not dramatic at all. "How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I store up anxious concerns within me, agony in my mind every day? How long will my enemy dominate me? Consider me and answer, Lord my God, restore brightness to my eyes, otherwise I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I have triumphed over him, and my foes will rejoice because I have shaken. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing to the Lord because he has treated me generously." Like I said, Psalms are a roller coaster, just up and down with David. He was deeply human in both his mountaintop victories and his valley, really deep lows. He was quite the drama queen, very extra. I always chuckle when I read some of it because I'm like, wow, this guy must have been just really extra, like really, really that way. One minute he's drowning in his tears, and the next minute he's dancing till his clothes fall off, and he's just up, and then he's down, and then he's up again, and then he's down again. But we see in 1 Samuel 13 and Acts 13 that he was what God considered a man after his own heart. That's okay. If anyone's told you you're too much, maybe not. Though there's a lot of instances of men and women in the Bible dealing with depression and fear and anxiety and crying out to God and Him meeting them where they are. We find Gideon, Esther, Peter, Paul, Mary. Not really. That was for you. That was your one. That's what I get for working way too much with you. But God meets them all where they're at in the mud. And He'll meet you where you're at in whatever kind of mud you find yourselves in. And there's different kinds, lots of different kinds of mud. Lots of different things that can get you there. Lots of different depths that you can be sitting in. So, we get a little personal. One of my mud times was about 14 years ago. I was in my fourth year of marriage, and I just had my second little boy, who's hiding in the sound booth right now. And life was good. Life, marriage, work, kids, home. I had everything I had always hoped and prayed and dreamed of since I was that big. I did. And so I found myself very confused and very in a muddy place when I found myself being really, really miserable. I struggled with being angry at everyone and everything for nothing I could specifically say or put my finger on. I had a deep void that anger and sadness had filled, and it was very confusing. How could I be so discontent and miserable when I had all of these wonderful, wonderful things? I remember some really well-meaning, good people trying to encourage me by saying, oh, just think of all you have to be thankful for, and oh, think of all the women who would love to be in your shoes, and that was not helpful. Well-meaning, sure, but not helpful, because I wanted to be okay. I understood and I knew all those things, and I was thankful. And so the guilt and the shame that just layered on through all of this time, it added a lot of layers of shame to my already very deeply troubled heart and mind. I became so angry and torn inside that at one point I came really, really close to just packing my bags and leaving my little family. I was making everyone around me pretty miserable, and that was obvious at that point. And the pressure of trying to be okay when I wasn't made me think that everyone would probably just be better off if I just kind of left. I felt very misunderstood and angry. I have tissues. Thanks. Is that what you're getting? I do. I knew that this would happen. Okay. Bring it on. Just because I should have been fine was irrelevant because I wasn't. Anger got the best of me way more often than I ever want to admit. Why was I doing this? Why wasn't I happy? Why couldn't I get out of my own head and my own way and get over myself? Well, I didn't know at the time. I was pretty severely depressed. I was diagnosed with a late onset postpartum depression after having two little boys in 12 months and 2 weeks. I was not okay. And I didn't realize it. I didn't recognize or think that, you know, a postpartum thing would could happen almost a year later. It was like 9-10 months after Sean was born that I was struggling really deeply with this. I also thought depression was, you know, when you're just crying 24/7 and can't get out of bed and don't want to do anything. So I didn't really recognize this in my life. And I certainly didn't think it was going to cause outrage and anger. I was so angry and miserable. It wasn't good. Once I realized what was going on, I was honestly somewhat relieved. There was a reason for my feelings. However, I knew that it was not an excuse for my anger. I knew that I needed to not use this as a crutch for sinful behavior. This brought me to my knees a lot. I would go outside and yell and pray and pray, yell, and ask God to heal my very broken heart and mind. Cried through a lot of worship sets. I relate to David as far as music being something that has always ministered a lot to me. It's a very personal thing. It helps me process. To have time to sit down with the piano and just sing and cry, I can work through a lot internally. That was very helpful. I read a lot of books. I listened to a lot of sermons and podcasts and anything to feed a godly, positive mindset into me. I began to take a lot of self-inventory and wanted to begin to not just survive this, but really get over it and work through it and thrive. At this time, I was still working on the farm. Every afternoon, evening time with Dan and the two little boys that would come and trail behind us. We would have a little old wooden wagon, and I had this 5-gallon bucket I would sit the kids in when they were little. It was just the perfect right size, and they'd sit inside and they couldn't really go anywhere, and it was great. But they would follow us around and they'd get into trouble and then all that, but it was a good time. And I remember one of those afternoons, making some notes on a barn desk that we had. So it was full down old little stand-up desks with chains on the side, and Dan's grandma would have old scrap pieces of paper, you know, the back of old envelopes to bills, and super frugal. And that was our scrap paper out there, and I remember taking one of them and making a note for a cow, but then I remember at that point, God spoke to me, and he, in just about 2 minutes, gave me a song with the melody and lyrics, and it's the last song we sung today. It's always been super special. It felt like a little bit of a love letter of a, I got you, I see you, I know what you are. It's not a surprise to me. He speaks to the potential of things, including us. He knows the things from when you're little, what you're going to struggle with, your tendencies, your personality. He's very aware. And he meets us where we're at. And he doesn't let us walk away with our excuses. But if we let him, he gives us what we need at the time and place so that we can get up and continue what he has for us. There's hope, and there's healing found on the other side of hurt. And there's purpose. I know it feels sometimes when you're sitting there in the mud, it's exhausting and too painful to even think about trying to figure out how to move or get up. But he comes and he sits with us and he helps us and he pulls us up. And sometimes it's a yank, and sometimes it's a very gentle leading. I know through music, through different forms, but he very gently began leading me out of that season of mud. There's been different times with different things and different levels of being stuck. But this was a really deep hole I found myself in for a while. But one step, one captive thought, one desperate prayer at a time is where I found God. Some of the most meaningful, transformative things we could ever do in our lives are found in the hardest struggles we will ever go through. Take my experience out of the whole thing. My issues aren't what you're going through, or yours. I'm thankful to have a big God who can handle big feelings, big issues, big emotions, big outbursts. He can handle it.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're glad you could be here. If you'd like to hear or see more, watch our service live on Facebook, YouTube, or visit our website at www.riveroflifechurch.org. We hope you have a great week.